Because of listeners like you, Preborn has helped to rescue over 67,000 babies. Your $28 to sponsor one ultrasound doubled a baby's chance at life. Your tax-deductible gift saves lives, so please join us in this mission. To donate, go to preborn.com/AFR.
If we lose this cultural war, we're going to have a hedonistic, humanistic society.
Discover the story of the culture warrior, Don Wildman, and how he went head-to-head with Hollywood, Playboy, the homosexual agenda, and the Disney empire. The movement Don started paved the way for Christians to boldly stand for truth and righteousness in a hostile culture. Watch Culture Warrior today for free. Visit culturewarrior.movie.
Jenna Ellis in the Morning on American Family Radio.
I love talking about the things of God because of truth and the biblical worldview.
The U.S. Constitution obligates our government to preserve and protect the rights that our founders recognize come from God, our Creator, not our government. I believe that Scripture in the Bible is very clear that God is the one that raised up each of you, and God has allowed us to be brought here to this specific moment in time.
This is Jenna Ellis in the Morning.
Good Monday morning, everybody. Alex McFarland here. So honored to be sitting in for Jenna Ellis this morning. And you are listening to the American Family Radio Network. And there's so much in the news. And we're very privileged to begin the show today with a frequent guest that we've interviewed a few times, attorney Paul Kaminar. And he is with the National Legal and Policy Center. And, you know, as we're nearing Trump's 100 days in office, and as so much of his agenda has been obstructed, or at least attempted to be obstructed, by activist judges appointed not only with a very left-leaning anti-constitutionalist worldview very often, but by left-leaning politicians and leaders in previous administrations, Biden, Obama administrations. These and many other topics I thought we could dive into. Plus, later on in the show, I'll be taking calls. And as we bring attorney Paul Kaminar, NLPC counsel, on, I just want to thank everybody for listening to the show that I'm frequently on, which is Exploring the Word, which is heard Monday through Friday, 4 to 5, on the American Family Radio Network. And in addition to that show with Bert Harper, I have the privilege of doing a number of shows like this one, Jenna Ellis in the Morning, and off in the Hamilton Corner, where we talk about current events, the state of the nation, and really the culture from a biblical perspective. But we don't have him for the whole show, but attorney Paul Kaminar, I want to get right to it. First of all, attorney Kaminar, thank you for being on with us today, and thank you for the work you do for constitutionalism and freedom.
Well, thank you very much for having me. It's my pleasure to be back on again.
Well, thank you for giving us your wisdom and insight. For those that may not be familiar with the work you do, give us the website, NLPC.org, what you do, and then what we as citizens can do to help preserve our liberties and freedoms at this time. But tell us about your work and your organization.
Sure. Yeah, the National Legal Policy Center, and our website is, as you said it, NLPC.org. We're basically a small ethics watchdog group here in the D.C. area, and we try to keep the politicians honest here, which is a tough job. We file complaints against members of Congress with the Ethics Committee, file complaints against left-wing groups with the Federal Election Commission or the IRS. For example, we went after Black Lives Matter for the way they were misusing their millions of dollars in donations to buy luxury mansions and so forth. And we were able to force the leader of the group to resign under pressure. We also go after woke corporations. We own stock in a lot of the major corporations, just enough stock just to be able to go to the annual meetings and make what's called shareholder proposals. We do that regularly, go after Disney and Target and so forth to get them to try to eliminate their woke policies. And we've raised the attention to these organizations, and some of that is working. Some of these corporations are now starting to cut back on their DEI efforts and so forth. Other ones are not. So we basically try to keep everyone honest, and we go after the liberal groups, and very much following all the Trump cases. And I could talk about the couple of them. You talked at the beginning of the hour on the judge in Milwaukee who was arrested for letting the illegal alien go. So I can talk about that one as well.
Yeah, I mean, judges doing that which is illegal and unconstitutional, I mean, that's disheartening for sure. But let's talk about that. And
okay,
what's the likelihood that the charges will stick? Seems like the left has a really good way of weaseling out of accountability. But comment, please.
Yeah, sure. Well, first of all, the guy that she was sort of letting go and coddling and going out the back door, this is a guy who illegally entered the United States not once but twice, and the federal government ICE agents had a warrant out for his arrest, and they learned that he was going to be at this judge's hearing on a domestic battery charge. I mean, this is a guy you don't want, even if he was a citizen, around on the streets. So the judge had this hearing, and she told the ICE agent who was there to go out in the lobby and just wait till she's done dealing with this criminal. And lo and behold, she had him and his attorney go out the back door. And then the guy runs out of the courtroom, and they see him running down the sidewalk, and they tackle him and arrest him. And they said, "Wait a minute, you know, how'd you get out?" Well, you know,
how did you get past the bailiff?
Yeah, the judge was part of and parcel of this guy's escape. So she was arrested, and rightly so, for obstructing justice. For aiding and abetting this illegal alien to escape and so forth. And now the left is up in the arm saying, wait a minute, you know, you're not supposed to arrest judges. That's what they do in other countries, et cetera. Trump is being unlawful here. But the fact is, as Pam Bondi said, and she's an excellent attorney general, she said, hey, no one's above the law. Whether it's a judge keeping him from being arrested, or if he's at home and somebody in the house has him go out the back door and tells the ICE agents, oh, no, he's not here, you are obstructing justice. And I think the charges will stick. Sure, there's going to be a trial and facts to see exactly what she did. She may try to say, oh, no, I was just having him be processed, et cetera. I had no idea he was going to run out the back door or whatever. We'll see about that. But based on the facts as we know it, she would be guilty of these charges. And interestingly enough, this is not the first time this has happened. In 2019, another judge in Newton, Massachusetts, did the same thing. There was an illegal alien before her court, and she also had the illegal alien go out the back door and so forth. And so she was indicted in 2019 by the Trump first administration, okay?
Mm-hmm.
All right, well, it takes time for these kind of cases to go through the system. And in the meantime, who got to be president? Joe Biden.
Yeah.
So 2022, Biden says, oh, I'm going to throw out these charges. You're not, you know, you're free to go. So it was just amazing that, well, it's not surprising that Biden Justice Department would have this person not be indicted and drop the charges. So it's not going to happen again. You know, fool me once, shame on you. Fool me twice, shame on me. So I predict that we're early enough in the term of the second term of the Trump administration that they're not going to let this drag on in case Democrats becomes president in 2028. So there is precedent for this type of arrest, and just a matter of seeing how this plays out. But you're right, you had all the liberals there, you're protesting outside the courtroom, you know, free Judge Dugan, that's her name, sure, et cetera. So, again, it's just an example of the lawlessness that's going on, and thank goodness that the Trump administration is basically, enforcing the law as it should be. So that's where we are on that case.
You know, polling last fall, just before the election, and this definitely played well for Donald Trump's reelection, but, you know, poll after poll showed that the American people wanted the rule of law upheld, the law uniformly applied, and America being made safer. If you would, and for those just tuning in, Alex McFarland here, we're talking with attorney Paul Kaminar. Okay, it says that U.S. District Judge William Orrick in San Francisco has issued an injunction. 16 cities have filed suit because Trump is wanting to withhold federal funds from sanctuary cities, which I think is a great idea. And Judge Orrick has made an injunction that this must be stopped because withholding federal funds from the sanctuary cities would cause, quote, irreparable injury. In other words, you know, these sanctuary cities will host illegals, and we, the taxpayers, have to fund it. Speak to this, and again, I mean, the larger problem or the larger conversation, activist-level judges obstructing right. the Trump policies that the American people did want.
Right. Yeah. No. This judge basically issued this nationwide injunction in a way, trying, and that's a problem overall, where the liberal groups go to select courts around the country where they think they'll get a ruling, and the judge issues a ruling that's applicable to the entire country. Whereas, and that's what we call nationwide injunctions, and Congress is trying to stop that nefarious practice by saying, look, if you're going to rule, just rule in your district, because there's other judges that might think differently in other parts of the country. So,
yeah, I was going to ask you, how can a judge in San Francisco issue a position that is applicable for the entire nation? How is that possible?
Yeah, well, it's technically possible because of the way the court rules are issued and written, and especially if the plaintiffs in the case are part of a class action, if the class is everybody that's in that class that are located anywhere in the country. But that is much abused, and here this was just an injunction. It's not really a final decision on the merits. So this case and a lot of others will be going to the Supreme Court to try to get to the merits of whether or not the administration can, in fact, withhold funds. And the you know the legal reasoning is sound that look, you know, you guys have these sanctuary cities, and that's against our policy, so we're going to withhold funds. And excuse me, that's what's going on, and I think we'll see how that plays out. But again, as you said, this is part of, you know, other judges doing it, and the two main cases that are on the docket here that are in the news. One here is in D.C. This Judge Boasberg. He's the guy who is judges about to hold the Trump officials in contempt of court because he claims that they did not return the illegal aliens who were flying to El Salvador and order the planes to turn around in midair when he issued his order. Now, that case is heating up in a way, but what's interesting about that case is the Supreme Court.
Forgive me, we've got to take a break.
Sure.
Paul, forgive me. Alex McFarland here with attorney Paul Kaminar of the National Legal and Policy Center. Jenna Ellis in the morning. Stay tuned. More plus your calls after this brief break. Don't go away.
Will you take a moment and celebrate life with me? Last year, Preborn helped to rescue over 67,000 babies from abortion. Hi, this is Jenna Ellis, and I want to thank you for your partnership. Think about what you did. 67,000 babies are taking their first breath now because of you. Your $28 sponsored one ultrasound that was given to a woman as she was deciding about the future of her child. Once she saw her precious baby for the first time and heard their sweet heartbeat, her baby's chance at life doubled. But Preborn's mission is not only to rescue babies' lives, but also to lead women to Christ. Last year, Preborn Network Clinics saw 8,900 women receive salvation. Your help is crucial to continue their life-saving work. Your caring, tax-deductible donation saves lives, so please be generous. To donate, go to preborn.com/AFR. That's preborn.com/AFR, or dial #250 and say the keyword baby. That's #250 baby. Your love can save a life.
Welcome back to Jenna Ellis in the Morning on American Family Radio.
Good morning, everybody. Alex McFarland here. So honored that you're listening. So honored to be on Jenna Ellis in the Morning, and very grateful to be learning from and hearing from attorney Paul Kaminar of the National Legal and Policy Center. We're going to resume our conversation with Paul Kaminar in just a second. But I want to remind everybody, a week from yesterday, on Sunday, May 4th, we've got Dinesh D'Souza in Myrtle Beach, South Carolina, the speaker series, Conversations That Matter. Later on, we'll be having Charlie Kirk. But May 4th, there is still time to get your tickets and attend. Dinesh is just one of the most brilliant speakers and analysts. And besides just being very pithy and so informative, he's funny. Just one of the greatest public speakers you'll ever hear. And he's going to be commenting on Trump's first 100 days in office. There's a lot to be informed and mindful about. But if you go to the website, alexmcfarland.com/conversations, alexmcfarland.com/conversations, and we'll tell you more as we get closer to that. But Attorney Kaminar, thank you so much. And I want, with the time we've got left, there's a few more questions I want to ask you. But for those that may be unfamiliar, tell us briefly about the National Legal and Policy Center and what people can do to stay informed in the great work you're doing, keeping Washington honest. That's a heavy lift, but Godspeed, yeah. Sir.
Well, yeah, no, like I said earlier, yeah, the National Legal and Policy Center, we're a small but effective legal ethics watchdog group here in the D.C. area, and we go after liberal activist groups and liberal politicians for violating ethics laws, Federal Election Commission laws, IRS laws, and we go after world corporations as well. So just go to our website, nlpc.org, and we appreciate any support you can give us. But if I want to go on, I'd like to maybe comment, because you were just mentioning about this judge in the Garcia case. This
sure.
Right now, that case is also pending, and it's heating up. This is a judge here in Maryland, Judge Zinnes, who last week ordered Trump administration to provide her who didn't have the order that allowed this plane to take Garcia down, because the Supreme Court did rule a couple weeks ago that that the administration should, quote, facilitate, end quote, his return because he was taken out of the country. There's a question whether that was allowed because he had some other kind of a detainer order that was stayed, et cetera. But there was already, as it came out later, there were some immigration judges that already ruled that he could not be here. Be that as it may, she wants to now hold everybody in contempt of court, just like this Judge Boasberg wants to. And she did give them until, I think it's this Wednesday, the opportunity to provide her with who in the administration, you know, allowed this plane to take Garcia down. And you know, here you have the Senator Van Hollen going down and meeting with this guy. He's, you know, also committed wife beating, et cetera.
Yeah.
So it's just hypocrisy how the liberal Democrats are crying crocodile tears for this MS-13 gang member and wife beater. And yet the senator did not even have the decency to call the mother of a young woman who was raped and murdered by an MS-13 gang member here in Maryland and other ones. So it is kind of despicable. But the larger issue is these judges are running wild here.
Are the judges essentially, you know, issuing subpoenas for members of the Trump administration?
No, what they're doing is they're telling the Justice Department to hand over and get what's called discovery, answering questions by the liberal plaintiff's attorneys as to who was involved in allowing this guy to go down to El Salvador, who was in, did not obey my order to turn the plane around, et cetera, et cetera. And also, what are you doing to facilitate this guy's return? Who made the decision, et cetera? So it's not a subpoena as such, but it's equivalent to that. So what's going to happen is, come Wednesday, they're going to you know, provide some more information. But nevertheless, some of these are being appealed to the D.C. Circuit Court of Appeals, so some of these actions are on hold for a while. So we'll see how it plays out, but eventually this will all go to the Supreme Court one way or the other. But in the meantime, they may be held in criminal contempt, but as I think about it, this is basically going to get these guys anywhere, because if anybody is held in criminal contempt, you can better believe that Donald Trump's going to pardon them. And so all this is for naught, all this proceedings that are going on trying to hold Trump administration and Justice Department and ICE officials in contempt of court. So
it's just time-wasting, expensive political theater, isn't it?
Yeah, it is. And it's taking the ball away from the larger issue of how Trump is basically stopping illegal aliens. It's cut down 95% of the illegal crossings. That's what he's elected for. So the media is always focused, cherry-picking one or two cases here and there and saying, oh, look how Trump is being lawless and et cetera, et cetera. And, you know, where were they during the Biden administration saying, wait a minute, what are these millions of illegal aliens being let into our country illegally? Where were you guys back then? So this whole thing is really ridiculous posturing that's going on.
Well, indeed, it is. I know you've got to pull away. I want to thank you so much for your time. But
sure.
What are one or two other issues that you feel are especially pertinent that you would encourage conservative constitutionalist citizens to watch out for in the days ahead?
Well, beside these cases, there's the couple in the Supreme Court that I think was referenced in terms of the one the Supreme Court heard about the Maryland County schools where the parents are asking the court that they have a right to have their children opt out of these school sessions where they're reading LGBTQ books, et cetera. That's one case to watch, and that was just the hearing the other day. And the other thing to watch is May 5th, coming up in the next week or so, the hearing before the Supreme Court on President Trump's executive order on birthright citizenship. And his executive order says, look, if you're an illegal alien and you have a child here in the United States, that person, that child is not a citizen. Or if you are here on a visitor's visa from a foreign country, you come here, have your baby, get back on the boat and go back to your country. That baby is also not a U.S. citizen. So that's a very important case. And I'm hoping that the Trump administration wins that case because there are good arguments as to why they are not a citizen just because they put their foot on the soil and had their baby. We'll see how that case plays out as well. But that's one to be watching.
Give your website one more time, if you would.
Sure. Yeah, it's the National Legal and Policy Center. So it's NLPC.org, NLPC.org, O-R-G. And again, we appreciate your support.
Well, we appreciate your insights. Attorney Paul Kaminar, look forward to conversing again soon. Alex McFarland here. Hey, I want to give the number, and I want to open up the phones. The number is 888-589-8840. And I want to talk about these poll numbers about Trump's approval. April 29th will be his 100th day in office. There'll be a rally in Michigan. And the Newswire is abuzz, saying that at 100 days in, he's got the lowest presidential popularity or approval rating of any president in 80 years. And I want to give some of the stats on that. What do you think? I, for one, I'm very much thumbs up and approval with Donald Trump because he's trying to save the country. I firmly believe that. He's being obstructed. And you know what? Like, whether it's, attacks on Tesla dealerships. I mean, just talk about the hypocrisy of the left. You know, not too many months ago, save the planet, buy an EV, or you're, against human existence. And now, suddenly, because Elon Musk, the founder and president of Tesla, is pro-Trump and helping save billions of dollars of your taxpayer money being wasted, suddenly, because Elon Musk is helping out with Doge and government efficiency, burn the EVs and, the merits or demerits of electric vehicles, that's another subject. But the point is the hypocrisy of the left. You know, I remember speaking at universities throughout 22 and 23, and I mean, it was almost like a badge of worth to at least have on a Tesla t-shirt. But once the leader of Tesla is a conservative, it's, burn the dealerships. So I think there's so much noise going on around Trump that, I'm not sure I believe all these poll numbers, but let's talk about this. And as we get ready to take some calls, 888-589-8840, I've got the numbers on different presidents, Bush, Obama, Biden. We'll talk about that. But first, let's go to Texas. Jerry in Texas. Jerry, are you there?
Yes, sir. Can you hear me, brother?
Yes. Good morning.
Morning. So my thing is that I try to be an active participant in my civil government, right, a civil biblical citizen, and I call my representatives locally for the things that are going on local within the state of Texas, and then federally for those things that are broader spectrum to the Constitution. And I guess the frustration for me and talking to other people is that we'll call the representatives, leave comments, ask them for certain things, but all we get is kind of a silence, right? They'll send out letters of, hey, this is where I was and I visited the border, or I visited this and this is what my office is doing. But there's no clear, concise, hey, in order to implement President Trump's agenda in the Senate or in the House, this, as your representative, is what I'm looking to help do and coalesce with our other conservative representatives so that we can get this agenda pushed through. For instance, you're talking about the judges, which I try to keep my children younger informed of the laws and how they're being broken, but what the Constitution says. And so it gets frustrating as a Christian first that sees the law being broken and just violated. And then it seems frustrating as a citizen when those that are supposed to represent us don't appear to be doing that and fighting daily when the Congress is taking leave because we've got to figure out how we can vote from afar, which is unconstitutional, or how, you know, we can get these things done. I guess it's just a frustration because I don't sense that a lot of American citizens are calling, and the voices that are the loudest are those that are heard the more. And our representatives need to know this. So if there are representatives and senators listening, you know, your constituents want you to fight for what we voted for, which is a sensible government. I'm going to let you go, brother. That's kind of where I'm at right now. Y'all have a blessed day and continue. We love AFR.
Oh, man. Jerry, I want to say thank you for being a good, engaged citizen. And look, it takes effort, I mean, to call your representatives. But think about the key word. And Jerry, I cannot overstate how I'm grateful for the citizenship and patriotism that you're exhibiting and others like you, because we have a representative republic, which really a lot of people may not be aware of this, but our government is actually a Presbyterian form of government. In the church, you know, we have elders, but we call them, you know, senators and congressmen here in America. But folks, what you need to do is let your representatives of your region and district know, just, you know, respectfully, but I would say in phone calls, letters, and emails, say, representative, you know, whomever, my name is so-and-so, I'm in your district, and we support President Trump and all that he's doing, and we appreciate that you, as our voice in the Capitol and in Washington, will also support the president, because we, your constituents, we support the president, and we appreciate you supporting him as well. And let me just say this. I've interviewed many, many representatives at the state and national levels, and very often they'll tell me that they might hear from only a small handful of voters, or maybe oftentimes even one. And you know, the other thing that I think is important is if in your community you can talk to people and get petitions and say, you know, Congressman so-and-so, I'm calling you, thank you for your time, on behalf of the 2,500 voters in my, you know, precinct or whatever, get honest numbers, share them respectfully, but because I will tell you, the politicians, they're looking for the next, or looking at the next election. Hey, more calls, more content. Alex McFarland, 888-589-8840. 888-589-8840. We'd love to hear from you on the American Family Radio Network. Jenna Ellis in the Morning is back after this.
Welcome back to Jenna Ellis in the Morning on American Family Radio.
Good morning, everyone. Alex McFarland here. Very honored to be sitting in on Jenna Ellis in the Morning. Hey, we're going to get back to some phone calls. The number, 888-589-8840. And, you know, there are all these stories abuzz about President Trump's approval rating. And we'll talk about that. What do you think? And the number 888-589-8840. Hey, I want to mention something that's just really awesome. And I know this is a few months away, October 30-31, AFA at the Ark. Maybe you've been to the Answers in Genesis Creation Museum and the Ark that's in Northern Kentucky. I've been many, many times. It is phenomenal, folks. And there's going to be a retreat, if you will, the Creation Museum and Ark Encounter that AFA is leading. And Tony Vitagliano, Walker Wildman, Wesley Wildman are going to be there. You can tour the Ark and hear from different scholars. One of the AIG astronomers, Dr. Danny Faulkner, will be there. And a special presentation by AIG Answers in Genesis Vice President of Education, Dr. Georgia Perdom. And then there's going to be a dinner and a Q&A, a panel discussion with Tony Vitagliano, Walker, and Wesley Wildman. They're all vice presidents of AFR. It'll be a fantastic time. And so registration is up, and I would encourage you to take a look at this. You can go to afa.net/events, afa.net/events, and click on AFA at the ARC. And, you know, like I say, having been so many times, I just cannot overstate what a great attraction it is. It's a life-size, to the most minute detail, replica of Noah's Ark. And you will learn so much. It's especially instructive for those that just, you know, have questions about, you know, can we trust what the Bible says about creation and the flood? And I've been to the Creation Museum, I don't know, 8 or 10 times, been to the Ark 3 times, taken groups up there. And I had the privilege a couple of years ago of speaking at the Ark at a big American Family Radio event. And so we have actually broadcast from inside the Ark. Ken Ham and Mark Loy, the leaders, really the co-founders, they let me one day. I took the gear, the very same gear that I'm using right now, and we did Exploring the Word from inside the Ark. I mean, how cool is that? That we, you know, we're a Bible teaching show that's heard 3 to 4 central live 5 days a week. But yeah, we have done Exploring the Word from right inside the Ark. And so you will not be disappointed. And again, we're going to resume phone calls. Please check out for our big summer Biblical Worldview speaker series, Conversations That Matter, alexmcfarland.com/conversations. A week from yesterday, May 4th, so it's coming up this Sunday, we're hosting Dinesh D'Souza, and it's just going to be fantastic. Well, we are going to go to Tennessee right now. Let's talk with Ron in Tennessee. Ron, good morning. Welcome to the Jenna Ellis Show.
Good morning. I always enjoy your conversations on the radio.
I just wanted to make a
quick note that these judges that are in defiance of federal law and the new White House administration that got by for so long, that got installed by the former administrations that were so corrupt and rotten, that if they want to continue violating their oath of office, they should be prosecuted, arrested, and deported, strip their citizenship out. I don't care. But the reason I called in today was about the Real ID. I don't want to get a Real ID. I think it violates our constitutional rights of privacy and free speech. Mm-hmm. And I have to travel on planes. What am I going to do? Am I going to get stuck if I can't get this Real ID? If I can't, you know, take time out of my busy day to go stand in line at the motor vehicle place and get this Real ID and give up all my private information to the federal government? What am I supposed to do?
Yeah.
What is Congress doing?
Well, I'm glad you brought this up. And as a person that for 25 years, I have flown 1 to 3 times a week, about 50 weeks a year. And the dear people that engineer the shows at AFR know how much I travel because, you know, I'm always scrambling to find a studio somewhere in the Western world to do radio. I want to say traveling has gotten to be more and more and more of a hassle. And Ron, I'm glad you brought this up. Before I get into the Real ID subject, let me say this. I really do believe these judges that are not only obstructing the will of the people, not only obstructing the policies of the current administration, but ultimately doing things that are unconstitutional, jeopardizing the rights and the safety of taxpaying American citizens and advocating sanctuary cities for illegals, many of whom are felons or even known murderers, and just promoting things that are, you know, for foreign interest at the expense of the rule of law and national interest. I think they should be disbarred. You know, I think these judges and these attorneys that are basically committing treason by legal fiat, I think they should be disbarred. But Ron, let me mention one of the problems with the Real ID. And again, folks, this is something that you can talk with your elected officials about. I remember like 30 years ago, there was talk of having a national ID. And so what this country is, in many ways, you know, we're a confederation of states. And one of the things that the founders really championed were states' rights. There was a federal government, but not not like federalized law enforcement, not federalized education. I mean, there was a federal government. And you've heard the phrase, the full faith and credit of the U.S. government. I mean, there were certain constitutional principles and parameters that characterize the nation, but anything not specifically enumerated by the U.S. Constitution was left to the discretion of the states. And so whenever they talked about a national ID card that basically really put the federal identity over the specifics of the states. You know, 30 years ago, again, conservatives and constitutionalists would say, we do not want a national ID card, although I would argue, in a way, Social Security card is kind of a de facto national ID card. But here's the thing about the Real ID, and I've got one. I'm holding one in my wallet right now because, you know, I preach somewhere every weekend of the year, so for good or for ill, I get on a lot of airplanes. But here's the thing. The Real ID, it's got this little star in the upper right-hand corner. It basically creates a federal database with everybody's information. And so, you know, like South Carolina, the state of South Carolina, good for them, has really kind of been slow to comply with Real ID requirements because, for one thing, there's a huge cost. There's now another massive arm of government bureaucracy with all the cost and pork barrel fat that goes along with that. But it is basically, and I, you know, for those that, if I'm wrong, correct me on this, but it really is a national ID database, and there have been a lot of concerns about privacy and just really the, you know, a state driver's license now is a little bit of a moot point because, and just look at the nomenclature, a real ID. As if all other IDs are not real. Your Social Security card is not real. Your state-issued driver's license. And so now, of course, if this becomes the norm, and it is, I mean, it is as of May 1st, for flying, well, then, of course, you know, banks and other entities that would ask for, you know, your driver's license, just a state driver's license, kind of wouldn't be enough. That become your Social Security card, your state driver's license becomes kind of a second-class citizen in terms of a recognized ID. And so I don't know. We're within hours of the deadline, and yet I was reading about in New Jersey. I mean, there are like several million people in New Jersey that all of a sudden are saying, uh-oh, I'm not going to be able to fly. And New Jersey, at best, last week was cranking out 23,000 a day processing people. And 23,000 a day, I mean, that's a big number, it sounds like, but it's going to take a lot of time to get everybody up to speed on that. But hey, you know, I don't mean to be doom and gloom, because I'm not. I'm happy in Jesus. But let me just say, I really think privacy to a degree is a thing that ship has sailed. I mean, so much of our life is online. You know, years ago, they came up with this little phrase, digital footprints. I mean, there's a reason. Let's say you bought a pair of sneakers online. That's great. I mean, you can order. You've got every choice under the sun. You don't have to drive to 10 stores. You can, with a few points and clicks, every style, every size, every brand. And then, you know, you get the pop-up ads that, oh, sneakers. Oh, you know, socks. I mean, there's so many digital footprints from the news we read, the products we buy. You know, privacy is, you might clear your browser history, but your keychain in your computer still has all your passwords and everything. But I got a comment on this. And by the way, I want to say a super big thanks to Jenna Ellis for allowing me to sit in on her program. And Devin Patrick, Adam Suddeth, and the great people on the board that run the show when I'm on. But listen to this. Much is being made in the news right now about Donald Trump as we near the April 29th 100-day mark. And they're saying, oh my goodness, his popularity is at 44%. That is 1 point less than his popularity rating at the 100-day mark in 2017. And 10 points less than Biden's popularity mark at his 100-day mark in his first year of his administration. Okay, George W. Bush at the 100-day mark of his first term, 62% approval. Barack Obama at the 100-day mark of his first term, 63% approval. So people are saying, oh my goodness, Donald Trump, is it buyer's remorse? Let me just give a little contrarian opinion here. First of all, look, I remember George W., Barack Obama, Biden. First of all, at the 100-day mark, those guys had not really done anything except take victory laps. I mean, at the 100-day mark, they were still pondering cabinet positions. Whereas, you know, Donald Trump had pretty much populated his cabinet at the 100-hour mark. And I'm gonna say why these numbers might be somewhat accurate and why I really, in a larger sense, suspect that the 44% number is not accurate. First of all, Donald Trump won by 11 million votes, and it was an overwhelming mandate. The other thing is, even not necessarily conservative people voted for Trump. And it was not only a mandate for Donald Trump, but it was absolutely a referendum against the Democrat Party. And what might ameliorate these on first blush dismal numbers is this. You know, strategist after strategist, James Carville and others are saying, look, the Democrat Party has no brand anymore. The Democrat Party and their hyper-woke, globalist, Marxist, anti-constitutionalist positions, I mean, anti-America, anti-family, anti-safety, anti-rule of law, anti-life policies are bankrupt. The American people don't want it, and there are enough voters that are actually reasonable adults that, I mean, look, if we pray, if we vote, if we stay positive and stay informed and don't believe the spin of the left-leaning media, we have an incredible window of opportunity to save our nation. But the other thing is, Trump is doing things. He's getting work done. I mean, he's done more in 100 days than most do in 4 years. And I will say change, even necessary change, scares people sometimes. Anyway, this National Day of Prayer is Thursday. Please be in prayer. And please stay tuned to the American Family Radio Network where we will do our utmost to give you the facts, the truth, the news of the day from a biblical perspective. I've got a privilege of sitting in this week for several shows for Jenna, so it's great to be here. God bless you. Have an awesome day. And remember, God loves you. God is in control. Thanks for listening.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast may not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.
Preborn's whole mission is to rescue babies from abortion and lead their families to Christ. Last year, Preborn's network of clinics saw 8,900 mothers come to Christ. Please join us in this life-saving mission. To donate, go to preborn.com/AFR.